I'm gonna have to drive my car on Thursday.
Oh my god. Now when was the last time you drove?
Probably just before Christmas.
Wow.
When I stopped going to the gym because I went so 18th of December, something like that. Okay. So three months ago.
But yeah, we can anyway.
Three months.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about that on the podcast anyway. Are you ready?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. In our weekly show, we cover news and views from our businesses, along with a top of mind topic. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk, the podcast, without the Dog Walking Digest. And every now and again, we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. After 90 episodes of just audio, we're now on YouTube as well. So feel free to catch up there. Just search for the Trainers Training Company or the Get That Gang, or download us on audio only through your favourite podcast streamer. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we're at episode number 98. And as if on cue, the sun's come out for me. How's the sun doing for you, Sharon?
Well, it's kind of lurking. It's lurking there, ready to strike at any minute.
Yes, indeed.
But let's hope that it will just, you know, stay where it is for now, for the duration of this podcast, so that I
Fingers
don't sit
crossed.
Here looking like a zebra. So.
Oh, that was funny. Tell us about your week. Come on.
Oh, God. My week was lovely in one way, because I was spending lots and lots of time with all my lovely clients and all my various programs that I'm delivering at the moment. But in another way, it was absolutely horrible.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, because it was just so mad and there's just so much to do. I've just literally written down everything that I was involved in last week, mm-hmm. just so that you could understand that I'm kind of, it was real. It was a real thing last week. So So these were all the things I had to turn up on Zoom for. So I did a spotlight session. My Trainer Talk members, I did 2 one-to-one client sessions. I did a daily Facebook Live every day at 7 o'clock for my, including Saturday and Sunday, for my How to Launch a Training Business in 30 Day program. I did a weekly catch-up session also for my 30 Day program. I delivered a mindset webinar for my Complete Trainer people on Friday. I did a Trainer Talk welcome session for new members to Trainer Talk. I did some one-to-one sessions with my Transformers, my Mastermind program people, and I did a whole day with my Transform program on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few things.
That was just work stuff, right?
And on the personal
development side of things, you had an exciting...
Oh, yeah, and then I was on a course at the weekend for 3 days, which I didn't manage to do all of for various reasons, but mm-hmm. I managed to do most of it. But anyway, it was just absolutely
pretty manic.
Bonkers last week.
That's a week. That's a fortnight in a week, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
So you must be exhausted.
Well, no, I feel pretty good this morning, actually, because I know that I've got a week ahead of me where it's kind of not like that. And one of the things that I've really realised about myself, I knew it already, but I mean, it was just a reminder that I'm just not good at working under pressure. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, that some people say, oh, I always leave things to the last minute because that's when I do my best work, you know. I've never been like that.
Yeah.
And I was reminded of when I was at school and, you know, if the teacher sort of said, you have 10 minutes to, you know, to work this out, I would go, ooh, you know, I would just like couldn't think straight at all.
Yeah.
But if the teacher said, okay, you can do this in your own time, then I'd be absolutely fine. And I probably would do it in 10 minutes, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But just that. That
having the time pressure.
I'm just not, my brain just goes all over the place and I can't think straight. Last week was just kind of like that. So I really had to channel my as I said on the mindset webinar on Friday, I really had to channel my two things, which is number one, show up for mm-hmm. one thing at a time mm-hmm. and only one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And number two, when you do show up for that thing, you just engage in it totally, fully, enjoy it, and just shut everything else out. And that's the only way that I can get through it. But I was really glad on Saturday, Friday afternoon, because we did the webinar, didn't we, Friday morning. And then took Gemma out, and it was like Friday afternoon, it was like my course starting. It was like a little treat. It was like, oh God, oh my goodness, that week was over. And then the weekend was just, you know, just catching up with stuff, but not that frenetic sort of activity, which was... Definitely. My head feels a lot clearer today.
It is nice when you have been technically in charge of all these different meetings and things that are going on, to have something where somebody else is steering the boat and all you have to do is sit and listen. I mean, yeah, it's a program and it's personal development, so there's stuff you have to think about, but it's not none of it is critical in terms of thinking about it on behalf of other people like we do when we're running something. When you are a participant, it's much easier to sort of sit back and let somebody else worry about whether the internet connection is good enough or whether the next slide is coming up or whatever it might be. So that it is a sort of oddly relaxing in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. But. And it was so funny, actually, because we had in the course of the 3-day program with Michael Neal, it was you know, we had everything like that. We had internet connections being lost, having to, it completely went for like 20 minutes and then had to reappear, and the woman who's like his techie producer, she's in the UK and he's in like LA, and everything was completely lost, and it was like okay. And then when he came back, he was had a completely different camera because they'd had to do something, you know. It was it was fine, but you know. And then we had dogs barking.
Well, we know how that feels.
I know, because his dogs are brilliant. His dogs are always around. And then it was really early in the morning, so I think there's somebody delivered something, so the dogs were going ballistic, and he was telling his wife to like go and answer the door, and she wasn't there, so he had to get up and go and answer the door and, you know, let them in. You know, it's kind of like all this stuff. And then the most really interesting thing, because I was saying to you on Friday about how nervous I was about doing that webinar, because it wasn't, you know, I was very conscious about doing mindset stuff, and I decided to adopt it. The approach I decided to use was kind of just talk about stuff that I personally found most useful to me, rather than trying to say cover everything that anybody ever knows about mindset. So don't feel particularly qualified. And the imposter syndrome was, you know, kicking in massively. It was like, who am I to be talking about
that
mindset?
Turned up, you know, a notch, didn't it?
Just because you've read a few books doesn't mean to have been on a few courses doesn't mean to say you can come and do a webinar on
You're
mindset.
So funny. You've done so much more than that. But when imposter syndrome kicks in, all it does is, oh look, there's a sun. All it does is just, it conveniently helps you forget all the good stuff you've done, and really belittles anything that you have achieved to try and get you to think that you're not good enough. And it's just it's utterly bonkers, because I mean I was a participant on the webinar, and it was great. Everybody got such a lot out of it, and you know, the chat, as I was saying to you earlier, the chat was on fire, and people really enjoyed it, and I think they really appreciated that you weren't trying to be the all-knowing guru about it. Not that you ever would anyway, but I know there is a temptation sometimes when you're feeling nervous about a subject is to try to come across as if you've got all the bases covered, and you know, you're just petrified that somebody's going to find the chink in the armor, that kind of thing. Whereas I think the approach that you took, which was, look, I don't know everything about everything as far as mindset's concerned, but here's what's worked for me. And it was a solid 90 minutes of really good content, and really honest and authentic as well. And I think that goes a really long way for people. It was great. It was really, really good.
Thank you. Well, what there was, but I was reminded about that on Friday. So I sort of pitched up, and you know, Michael's sitting there in front of his thing, and his book, you know, his book's behind him, and he's all ready, and he's got a nice shirt on, and he's, you know, and he's all ready to roll and everything. And he opened his mouth, and then he went, and bearing in mind, you know, I see him all the time, I've done so many courses and things with him. And he literally, he opened his mouth, and then he went, oh, I feel really nervous.
Well, there you go, you see.
What?
Authenticity.
He was like, I've done this course so many times. He's like, I don't know why I'm feeling, but I just do. And I was like, well, there you go. You know, it's like, it was amazing when he said that. I was like, yeah. And mm-hmm. he did share a little bit later on about the fact that, you know, we all feel like that. Yeah. And it was really funny how one of our participants on the webinar, Denise Wiskin, had actually typed in the chat, I can't believe that you, when I was talking about how I have imposter syndrome and I feel, and all the, my, you mm-hmm. know, mindset issues.
Yeah.
And she says, I can't believe that you have these feelings. It's like, really? You don't know the half of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny.
But isn't that just such a lesson, though, is to, you know, help us to understand that those people that we consider to be ahead of us in mm. business, the people that we're learning from, they're really no different to us. They've just had a different set of experience. And, you know, and in some cases, their experience has been more skewed to the thing that we're trying to learn from them. And that's all, you know, they're not. And this is why I think it's so dangerous when people sort of put these people on pedestals and, you know, they can do no wrong and everything they say is gospel and all that kind of stuff. They're just ordinary people. And I think the ones that play up to the being on the pedestal and try and put themselves up there and you know, the ones that were worse are the ones that talk about themselves either in the third person or in terms of being a guru. Hey, you know, well, obviously I am a guru about, shut up, go away. You know, yes, I appreciate that's my blocker. But at the same time, it's kind of, you know, the people that are authentic about it, it really goes a long way to help us understand that wherever we are in our business, there will be people that we look at as being ahead of us. And there will be people that are, mm-hmm. You know, technically, metaphorically, actually, literally behind us, you know, in terms of, not in a stalkery way. Calm down, Christine. But in terms of, you know, they've just started out, or they're like Denise was saying in the webinar, you know, she looks upon you as a guide, which is absolutely right. You are. But only by virtue of the fact that you've been doing this for longer and you've been learning about this stuff for longer, which is great, because that's what you want, is you want the real experience. You just kind of, I mean, certainly I don't want to hear from somebody who I can't relate to. And relatability is so important, so important for this stuff. So, yeah, I think, you know, that was, pick your sporting cliche, hit it out the park. got it in one, whichever one you want to choose. Absolutely.
But it was, it was an absolutely, you know, bonkers week. That's all I can describe it as, bonkers.
For sure.
What about yours? Top that.
Wow, not as bonkers as that, but still busy. Mine was busy, but in a different way, insofar as I had... I've got sort of very stiff shoulders at the moment for various reasons. A lot of it because I'm sitting behind a keyboard all day, every day. And so, you know, my shoulders tend to go up like this anyway, and haven't been able to have a massage for the longest time and all this kind of woe is me stuff. But it got to a head last week, because on Thursday I woke up and had a really thick head in the morning, you know, when you just feel like you haven't slept properly. And I know that I've not been having what I would consider to be a full night's sleep for a little while now. And it's, you know, it's the toll that it's taking is that on Thursday I woke up with a very thick head, and that kind of grew into a sort of a headache that was lurking in the background all day and just kind of wouldn't shift, even though I'd, so, you know, took some anti-inflammatories, because normally ibuprofen just, you know, knocks it on the head for me. Pardon the pun. It wasn't shifting, and I thought, no, this is muscular, this is why. And what I needed to do was get to a point where I was able to relax my shoulders enough so that I could just sleep properly. So I managed to, you know, get through the end of the week. But of course, when you feel like that, when you feel slightly off, you're just not as productive as you want to be. And there is there's a few projects, as always, I'm never just working on one thing at a time. There's a few projects around at the moment, and one of them just for whatever reason, I've really struggled to get under the skin of it. And you know how sometimes you sort of, you know, you look at something and you think, oh yeah, this is that, and it all works and it all comes together and brilliant, out the door, invoice gets paid. And then other times you sort of look at something and you think, I'm struggling to find my inspiration here. My muse has gone, and all the rest of it. And managed to, how I did this, I have no idea, but managed to on Friday finally crack it and go, like this. Yes, I'm happy with that. But of course, the next stage is to send it to the client to go, are you happy with this? Because if you're not, then I need to sort of, you know, get something sorted for you. But luckily, the client came back and said, no, actually, I really like it. You know, sorry that you've been struggling. It's like, no, honestly, it's me. It really is me. Let's just say my body is letting me have the full midlife woman experience at the moment.
I didn't like to say, but you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been there.
And it's just
lovely heads.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely heads. We love those.
it's one of those things where having got it out the door and then got it to the client and then having the client come back and go, actually, I really like it. It's like, oh, thank God for that. You know, I'm not going quietly mad. You know, I do understand, you know, what we need to do and what we need to achieve with this. But it's horrible. I hate it when you have projects like that where it just feels like you're wading through treacle, doesn't it? And you just think. So it was a little bit like that last week. Got lots of other bits done, some of which we need to talk about after recording the podcast. but there were. You know, just various things going on and ticking over and what have you. But one of the things I was able to do over the weekend is, and long-time listeners to the podcast will be aware that I've been talking about writing my book for a long time. I've done, let me see, up until this last weekend, I had two starts at it. One where I got sort of four or five chapters in, and then one where I got to sort of the first or second chapter, something like that. There was loads of preview stuff and all that kind of thing, and just looking at it, and there was just something. I know we talk all the time about understanding and gut feel and you know, recognizing where the resistance is, and there was just something in me going, it's just not right. It's, you know, the content is technically right, but it's just not right in terms of the sort of book that I want to produce, because I want it to be something that is, you know, practical from the word go, and gives people information from the word go, because I cannot stand these books that purport to help you with something and then you have to read the first 50 pages, which are just kind of rambling backstory, which will be interesting later, but actually I want to know the thing I want to know now, the thing that you promised me on the cover in your title. That's the bit that I want to get to. So I really want it to be a really practical book. And I'd been sort of, you know, mulling it around in my head and thinking about, okay, so do I start here? Do I start there? And all the rest of it. And I can't remember if I definitely said in one of my live videos to the Get That Gang, sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees. And one of the things that I've been mulling around was, you know, what should the title of the book be? And I'd sort of, you know, thrown around, good grief, I better learn to speak before I try and write anything. I'd sort of thrown around a few ideas. I've even bought some domain names, and then it just came to me, wasn't last week, I think it was the week before, and I was just thinking, do you know what, you've already got the ideal name for what this stuff is, and it's Get That Course Online.
Yes.
So it's like, you know when you have that revelation for something that is right in front of you and just go, oh, face palm. That is just, hello, Jeanette, are you actually listening to what you're doing? And clearly I wasn't. So as soon as I saw it, of course it's called Get That Course Online. Why wouldn't it be? I've already got the website. I don't need to buy another domain. Fine. Okay, good. And as soon as I got that, it was like that was a piece of the jigsaw that sort of clicked into place. It's like a scene in a movie where everything goes quiet and just hear like this, and something, and you see the visual of something clicking into place, and then all of a sudden everything starts moving. So I in a break from doing other stuff over the weekend, I thought, oh, just, you know, Get That Course Online. So just open a document, Get That Course Online. It's for this, it's for that. Chapter one. Before I knew it, I'd written four chapters.
Oh, wow.
I was looking at it going, yeah, this is right. And I'd, funnily enough, I had towards, was it the end of last week? Must have been. I'd started blocking time out in my calendar because one of the things I've been terrible at is saying, oh, I must find some time to work on my stuff, but then not putting it into my calendar and ending up filling my calendar with stuff for other people. So I've blocked out a whole load of time, starting Easter weekend, actually, to do writing. I was intending to spend the entire 4 days doing writing. And I thought, and I felt so much better having put the time in the calendar. And then all of a sudden my brain went, no, I want to start now. So, okay, all right, we'll start now. That's fine. And I'm so pleased with the direction that it's going in and kind of the style that I've hit upon. And it's sort of a bit chatty, but not frivolous. And it is practical. There's, you know, there's all sorts of really good stuff in there. Yeah. And now, of course, whether or not people read it and go, yes, this is really good stuff, who knows? I know it's good and I know it's right and I know it works. So, you know, that's as far as I can go with that. And obviously, when I've done my first draft, I'll give it to a few people to look through to help me understand, one of which will be you, by the way. Okay. Yeah. Yay! Because I know how much you hate business books. So,
yeah. All of them. That's what it is.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, so it's... that was really exciting and really encouraging. And then the best thing to finish off the weekend was my local gym has said that because we can go back to exercising outdoors in England from the end of March Monday the 29th of March, at the moment, you know, all things are up for change, obviously, as we know. So they're putting on some outdoor boot camps in a field that's not too far away from here. And they opened the booking thing, so I am booked Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9:30 throughout from 29th of March all the way through to, I think, the last one is the 12th of May, something like, I can't remember, anyway, that ish Friday in May. Because that's about the time that the gym itself will be able to open up again if all goes according to plan. And it was just, I was on such a high, so excited about, oh yes, I can do, and I've been doing my workouts at home, but I can't wait to be in the company of other people doing it as well. Yeah, so it was a really good end to the weekend. It's just like, yep, booked. I had these 21 messages, emails. You've made an appointment. Yes, I know. Accept. It was great. I was so happy about that. So great end to the weekend.
Whisper it quietly. I'm not going to make a big deal of it, you know. But you know, there was a certain announcement on Friday here, which was a massive surprise, actually. That you know, the Welsh government did their 3-week review, and it was pretty much as you were. But oh, by the way, stay local now. Yeah. You know, stay within a 5-mile radius. So I think a lot of people around here were not bothering to, you know, they've been doing that anyway. Anyway, we're not going to go there. But you know, stay local, stay within a 5-mile radius. So that was a little bit of a change. Mm-hmm. And then there was no other changes apart from the government hairdressers.
I know. I had it on the news this morning. I had to take my car in for its first MOT this morning. So it's the first time I've listened to the radio in the morning for ages. And it came on in Wales today. And I thought, oh, hang on, I better listen to this. They're saying, and hairdressers can open. And they had somebody who owns a salon in Cardiff say, oh, it's brilliant. You know, we can get back and all the rest of it. I was thinking, does Sharon know about this?
Keeping it low key, you know, because I was kind of like, well, I'm not going to say anything until I get an appointment, or, you know, because, you know, it might be like, you know, 2 months before I can get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I was so surprised. I was like, what? This is, well, they did this the last time they did it, which was last summer. Do you remember?
Yes.
They nothing else was open apart from, oh, we're going to open garden centres. Yeah. Remember that?
It's like,
So this time they've decided not to go down the garden centre, but to open something that is far more useful, which is hairdressers. So on the basis, I guess they must see it as an essential service, which of course it is.
Of course it is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And happy days.
And are you going to tell our listeners and viewers about your blackmailing of your hairdressers to well, get her appointment?
You know, I was a little bit upset because they said that they would call people, those people who'd have their appointments cancelled.
Yeah.
And, you know, my appointment was on the 22nd of December and they shut on the 20th. So you would think that I would be first in the queue. So I kept phoning them and they eventually phoned me and stuff. And then they said, oh, yeah, 31st of March. I was like, what? No. We're not having that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it was all to do with the fact that this particular person who normally cuts the hair, she wasn't available until the 31st of March. So I had to go down. I said, oh, you know, my hair is such a mess and, oh, it's awful. And my fringe is like down to my nose and I look like a Highland cackle. And, you know, I'm on Zoom all day and I look absolutely terrible and, oh, it's awful and, you know. There must be somebody in the salon that can cut my hair. I don't need to have her. Just somebody. Just give it a trim and then we can do it properly later.
Like,
okay, let me see what I can do. Come out the other end of the phone going, please.
Oh, that's so funny.
Job done, results.
I know. And I know it is a constant source of annoyance for you, but it really, honestly, truly doesn't look that bad. You know, I know. So Sharon choking on her tea. Oh, it really doesn't. I think it suits you, the longer length, but I know it annoys you when it's too long. But now you've got your hairbrush that does the trick.
Well, uh-oh. You say that.
Here we go.
You say that, like last night, I noticed I washed my hair last night and got out of the shower and I was like, because like normally I don't towel it too much because if I towel it too much, then it makes it even more pretty. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. And like last night, I was thinking, oh, I can towel it properly now because of course I've got my tangle teasers. So which will be able to cut through anything. Yeah. And, you know, so I did that. And then I was like, because it's this side that's worse for some reason. Yeah. So this side, and I was like, da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Oh, no.
No, but it was better because it didn't get stuck.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I wouldn't say it was as smooth as it has been. Basically, because I towel dry.
Yes, so you had to give it.
I just literally have to
yank.
Get out. And just, I can't touch it. I just have to leave it and just because as soon as I start going like this, it like
frizzes.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Shall we? At the risk of this becoming a podcast, which is just about you and I chatting.
Well, you brought it up. I was not going to mention my hair, but you know,
throw me under that bus, why don't you? That's fine. Do you want to introduce our top of mind topic today?
No, you do it because it came from one of your videos, did it not?
Well, I was just explaining to you, I'm not sure that we've got a nice rounded title to introduce this one, but if I just explain where the idea came from, I was just thinking over the weekend, following on from a video that I did in my group last week, in the Get That Gang last week, talking about, you know, when's it right to say no? And you're trying to muck around. No, that's made no difference at all.
No, I know. It's because it's up there, you see.
For those of you that are listening rather than watching, Sharon was trying to get the blinds into submission and it's made no difference to the sun coming in. So she is...
it's at the top.
Oh, dear.
Right. Anyway. Hopefully he'll be here at some point.
Yay! Brilliant. The blinds man. Not blind man. Blinds man. We'll be here to sort out. Anyway, I digress. So, yeah, so last week I did a video about, you know, what's your no? What's the point at which you say you are not going to work with somebody and you draw the line at that and, you know, it's worthwhile thinking about that before you need to implement it, before it happens. And then as a sort of a kind of a contrast to that, I was just thinking over the weekend, there are so many quotations that get attributed to people, and in particular, and on LinkedIn in particular to Steve Jobs and Richard Branson, right? Mm. You kind of, some days you can't move without a picture of one of them with something attributed to them being written down. And one of the ones that consistently gets attributed to Richard Branson is this one that says, say yes first and then work out how you'll do it later. Which, you know, on the surface you look at and you think, oh yeah, you know, entrepreneurial spirit and that's how you grow and that's how you stretch yourself and you know, you've got to take some risks, and it does sum up a lot of qualities that you know, you need an element of in order to succeed in being entrepreneurial and running your own business. But I was thinking about it and thinking, yeah, but it's not as black and white as that, and it doesn't always completely apply, because there is a danger that if you say yes to something that is too far away from your comfort zone or your zone of genius or, you know, your skill set as it is at the moment, then the danger then is that you're going to give yourself way more stress and worry and trouble trying to work out how to do this thing. And the chances are you're not going to do a great job, which means that you may get a client that goes, well, actually, I'm not happy about that, which tarnishes your brand. Yeah. And then it kind of spirals into, and if only you'd had the foresight to go, actually, that's not something I can do. And it's an interesting one, I think. It's different to, we spend a lot of time, both of us, talking to people about niches, right? And one of the things that we talk about with niching is that sort of being brave with that first step of turning work down that you used to do because it doesn't fit your niche. And it's, you know, it's very easy to kind of fall into that trap of saying yes to doing something because it's money, as opposed to saying, actually, no, just because I can do that doesn't mean I should do it, doesn't mean I will do it. And yes, it is money that's being offered to me, but I want to focus and concentrate on my niche. That is absolutely a step that people have to take. This, I think, is a different thing. This is around saying yes to something that might be sort of either adjacent to your skill set or an extension of your current skill set, but knowing and understanding what's going to be a stretch, what's going to take me out of my comfort zone enough to stretch me so that I can grow my skills, grow what I'm doing, all of that kind of thing, but isn't so far beyond my comfort zone that actually I'm going to end up either doing a really bad job or scaring myself silly or, you know, something bad happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think it's quite hard to do that. I think you've kind of like described the stages we go through as, or the typical stages people go through as business owners, because they start off in that space of just sort of saying yes to everything, just in case nothing else, just in case nothing else comes along, and they have to, you know, and you have to do it, and then you sort of, you know, then you move on and you become a little bit more kind of like discerning, don't you? You get a little bit more confident, and then there's also, isn't there, kind of like maybe a third stage where you really get really clear on what it is that you love to do, and it's basically all about, you know, you know, cherry picking the, I could do that, but basically this is the stuff that, you know, is in my, as you said, my zone of genius. This is stuff that I love to do. This is where, you know, this is my best work, you know, when I show up, you know, I love it. And that's really the, that's, I think that's what we should all aim for.
Yeah, completely.
Everything comes together. You're really confident because you know, you know that you can do it sort of standing, you know, off the top of your head.
Yeah.
But you love it as well. So it's just not a, you know, you're in the flow and all that kind of good stuff. But it takes a while to get there, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I think it's a combination of, like you say, it's understanding and being confident in what you can do, but also respecting and understanding what the extension of what you can do looks like, if that makes sense. And what I would equate it to is I'm pretty clear on all the stuff that's in the Get Back Gang. So there are five brands at the moment. There'll be a sixth before the end of the year, but that's for later. But with all the things that we've got in the Get That Gang at the moment. So we started with online courses, pretty soon followed by websites, got videos, funnels, got brand, right? Those are things that consistently come up in the conversations that I have with people. But I am very clear with that stuff that I know enough to get you started and get you two or three steps along the road with those things, with most of that stuff, right? For some of it, I can take you even further. So for websites, I can take you probably a little bit further than those first two or three steps, because I can incorporate things like membership and online courses and that kind of stuff, e-commerce, that kind of stuff, which is usually the step up in terms of website building. But if you wanted something that was essentially going to end up being the equivalent of Amazon, that's not me. That's not my skill set. I know it's not my skill set. And actually, building something that big and complicated doesn't really interest me that much. I'm much more interested in getting people off the starting block and getting them moving and giving them the assets they need to be able to grow their business. The one area of the five that I can confidently and consistently take people much further in to expert level if they need it is online courses. And I know that, and I'm happy with that, and that's fine. I don't need to be able to do that for all the others, because that's not what the business is about. That's not what I'm about. It's not what interests me. It's not what I'm trying to project to people. It's about let's get these things off your to-do list, and that's it. So if somebody were to come to me and say, you know, we want this whole big launch of a new brand that's going to be the competitor to Amazon, and we need you to do the brand and the websites and the funnels and all the rest of it, I would absolutely think twice about that and probably say no, because yes, I can do the basics of all of them. I can do the intermediate of most of them, and I can do the expert for at least one of them, but I can't get you to that level for all of them. And I think it would be disingenuous to say, oh yeah, sure, I can do that and then work it out later, because actually doing that doesn't interest me either.
It really is that, you know, tapping into the things that you love, you know, and it's really interesting, because on the mastermind program that I run, you know, the Transform program, it's just like that has been a massive theme throughout the year, and it's really emerging a bit. How do we, you know, as business owners, how do we make this fun? How do we make it enjoyable? How do we grow a business but keep ourselves intact at the same time? You know, how do we, you know, reach the, you know, the turnover or income level that we want in our business without sapping all our energy, without sapping all the joy, without sacrificing everything else that's going on in our life. It's been really fun, you know, it's been really fun to kind of explore that, because it is possible. But one of these things, as you say, it's about being really, really clear on what is it that you love to do, what is it that you don't, and just get rid of all the stuff that you know you could do, but it doesn't really float your boat. And you know, it's so important, and it takes courage to do that. But it's like everything else, the more you do that, the more you know, normal and natural it feels. You create a new habit, and it just becomes easier and easier to listen to your intuition, you know, and to go, is that kind of, you know, not feeling right? I was talking to one of my team members on Friday, Matt, and we were talking about this certain, you know, strategy around, you know, Facebook groups and you know, this bit of software that we've been using, because I'd been advised to use it and all the rest of it. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to get rid of these. And he's like, well, I said, because it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. And I can't explain it. And you know what? The thing is, I know that, because I'm, you know, an action taker, as you know.
Absolutely.
If I want to do something, I'll just go and I'll kind of do it. But I know that every time, if I'm stalling, I'm taking ages to make a decision, it's because it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sit right with me, and I know that, and so that, yeah. So listen to, I know we keep banging on about the same stuff, but listen to that intuition, you know, if some kind of work comes in and you're kind of like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But and it doesn't feel right. Even if you don't know why that's at the stage, if there's just the slightest funny feeling, like I said in the mindset webinar, if something feels off, it generally is.
Yeah, completely.
Sometimes you don't know why, but you just do.
I agree. Following your gut instinct about this stuff, I think, is really good. I will extend it slightly. My belief as well is, you need to look at, you need to listen to your gut instinct in terms of, should I try that or shall I stop that thing? But there is a place for evidence as well, I think. Gut instinct is great, but look at the evidence before you make big reaching, far-reaching decisions. If you have no evidence and the gut is the only thing you've got to go on, then go on your gut, because your intuition, your unconscious, your subconscious, whatever you want to call it, it's telling you something, and it's telling you it for a reason. And it might be that it's not right ever, it's just not right now. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And this is why I think I have, you know, not an issue with the say yes and work it out later. It's more about, you know, knowing where you are in your business. So you know what to say yes to and what is going to be a good stretch for you. So for example, I mean, I've done a lot of work on lots of different learning management systems and builders, video builders and that kind of thing. And they're pretty much, editing software is pretty much much of a muchness. But if somebody were to say to me, I've got some videos in ScreenFlow, for example, that need editing, can you do it? I'm not going to say yes. And the reason I'm not going to say yes is because I know that ScreenFlow is an application that works on a Mac. I don't have a Mac. Yeah. So, you know, it's
short.
Don't you should me, Gaskin. Don't you should me after Friday's webinar. Ignore the shoulds. But it's one of those things where if I was just starting out in editing and hadn't, you know, looked at all these things and understood the area that I was in, but was only at the stage of going, editing software is pretty much of a muchness, then I might make the mistake of going, oh, yes, of course I can do that. And then it's not until the work comes in and I go, I can't read this file. Why can't I read this file? Oh, now in order to do this editing, I have to go out and buy a Mac. Hang on, that's not going to be cheap. Right. So it's understanding the space in which you're operating. Whereas if somebody were to say to me, I've used the authoring tool Adobe Captivate. There is another one, which is Articulate Storyline. And they're kind of, you know, equal in terms of what they can do and all the rest of it. It's just one is Adobe and one is Articulate. I have never used Articulate Storyline, but I've seen stuff that has been produced on it. But I have used Adobe Captivate. I'm pretty confident that if I needed to, I could work out how Storyline works. So if somebody said to me, you know, we need to build it, it has to be done in Storyline, can you do it? Yeah, I can do it. Because I've done the research, I know how much it costs, it's, you know, on a par, et cetera, et cetera. I can get into it, I can work it out, I'm pretty confident I could do that. But I only know that because I've been working around this stuff for long enough to understand that those two things is not a big leap, whereas the editing tools I was talking about, you know, going for something that only works on a Mac, that is a big leap because I don't have that kind of technology easily at my disposal. So not to say I don't have people on my team that couldn't do that. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's understanding where you're at and understanding what the landscape looks like in your particular area of expertise in order to know what's going to be a good stretch, what's going to be an overwhelm stretch for you.
Absolutely. So, yeah, perfect. Lovely.
Well, there we are. And you're making lots of points with your microphone there, so well done.
Sorry.
I love it. It's when you get passionate, so I'm going to make the point with the microphone. Okay. All right.
Of course.
Talk to us about the dog walking digest, Sharon. How's Jem?
Oh, well, she's all right. She's a little bit better after, you know, last week's debacle, you know, when she squealed and her legs.
Yeah, collapse.
But then she turned around and then, you know, jumped onto the sofa.
Yeah.
So she seems to have been all right by then. She had a little episode the other day where she was literally, she was running. She was literally running through the park, which was lovely. Wow. And when she gets onto the beach, she'd, you know, so yeah. I don't know. She's a bit of a fraud. but the big news for her is that she didn't have any dog food yesterday. Because, we get our dog food delivered. Uh-huh. And there was a little, and we have it on kind of like a loop and things.
Yeah.
But over Christmas, because there wasn't going to be a delivery over Christmas, you had to kind of like squeeze in an extra one.
Right.
Which meant that you got to a point where you had like loads of dog food in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we better just press pause for a month. Then noticed like yesterday, I was like, oh my God, she's literally like got one portion of dog food left. It arrived this morning. But they're so funny, aren't they, dogs? Because like normally she goes out for a walk in the morning. We put the food in a bowl, and quite often she'll just leave it there the whole day. Mm. You know, or you know, until like some nice bit of pasta is on top of it or whatever. It's rare for her to come back and just eat it all straight away. Of course, this morning, because there was no food in the bowl, she's looking at it like where is it? You know, and then giving you, and then keep coming up to you, giving you those sad eyes, oh. Like, there's no food, I'm so hungry. What are you doing to me?
Oh, she's going to waste away, isn't she? Poor
I know. But anyway, they've been now. So there's food in her bowl now. Has she ate it? No.
They're so funny, aren't they? So funny with their little quirks, honestly. Well, I mean, Copper, my mum's dog, and Scamper doing absolutely fine. Copper is now down to one steroid pill every other day.
Oh, that's good.
And he has his final one on, well, we say final one, we hope final one on Wednesday. And then he goes back to the vets on Thursday. But the biggest thing with him at the moment is obviously being steroids. And the vet was very clear on this. She said, he's going to ask for food the whole time. And, you know, just don't worry about it at the moment. Let's get him through the steroids, get that working, and then we'll worry about his weight afterwards. But he's got a proper barrel tummy at the moment, which is kind of disguised because he hasn't been groomed for quite some time. I'm sure Jen's the same. He's just fur everywhere. He's just a big ball of fluff and a solid one at that with his tummy. But by contrast, Scamp isn't overweight or anything like that, but he doesn't need grooming because he's a short-haired terrier, so you know, it just falls out all over the place. That's the biggest thing with him. He has to get used to the fact that Copper is now getting fewer treats because he needs to start going on a diet and that kind of thing, which means that Scamp can't have them either. The funniest thing is that Mum's absolutely terrified that he won't love her anymore because she's not allowed to give him treats.
Of course. Like,
no, I think you'll be okay somehow because, you know, I've not been giving him treats all the time. And, you know, he still likes me. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny. She's like, oh, no, he's looking at me. It's like, yeah, so it doesn't mean you have to give him something. It's okay. Oh, but no. He's fine. So it's, you know, she talks about, oh, Copper hasn't had any treats and doesn't do this and doesn't do that. Oh, but look at the bowl of pudding. We had lemon tart and cream with some fresh raspberries. No, frozen raspberries on top. And she said, look, there's nothing really left in that bowl. He can have that bowl to live. It's like, no, it's only the cream, the extra thick double cream that you got to go with it. No, that means there's no calories in that stuff, Mum. It'll be fine, honestly. And she's like, oh, I suppose that's why he's put on weight, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll probably have something to do with it. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be fun times over the next few months while Copper is supposed to be on a diet. Mum's supposed to be on a diet as well, but I mean, she stopped cake making, but she will have a treat every day because, you know, got to have a treat every day. Oh, goodness sake, you're in your mid-70s and you can't enjoy life now.
Well, this honestly, is it. Yeah, there's no hope, is there, really?
I mean, come on. Life is too short as it is to sort of, you know, spend it going, oh, well, I'd really like that, but I can't.
Anyway. Yes. So, all right. Well, I think we are done for this week.
Mews all over the place.
So, Lovely. Thank you very much for your company, and thank you very much for your company, everybody, lovely listeners, absolutely, all the rest of it. And we will see you all again next week.
We will indeed.
Have an absolutely brilliant week.
Take care.
See you soon.
Bye.